Today on the Gospel of Grace, we would like to conclude our What is a Primitive Baptist series. And this morning, we would like to talk about church history. And the Lord promised, Jesus Christ promised, that he would set up a kingdom here on this earth. He promised that he would build a church and that the gates of hell would never prevail against that church. So the scriptures teach the perpetuity of the church. So then if Jesus promised that the church would be on this earth worshiping and glorifying him in the manner that he originally set it up throughout all of time, our question then must become, well, where has the church been throughout history, and where does the true church reside today? We began this series of messages with the idea of trying to explain for you what is a Primitive Baptist. I know I receive questions many times when I say I'm the pastor of a Primitive Baptist church. People will say, what is a Primitive Baptist? So the first thing that catches people's attention is obviously the name primitive. And the name primitive simply means original. And that's really what we want to tie back into this morning. We believe in the Primitive Baptist church that we are upholding the doctrine and the practice and the ordinances of the original church exactly as we see in the New Testament scriptures, and exactly in the manner that the original church preached and worshiped. So the word primitive simply means original. We believe to be the original Baptist church, the original church that was set up by the Lord. Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 8 that upon this rock, upon the foundational bedrock of the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He told him later in Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 20 to teach and then to baptize those that believe and to teach some more, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And then in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God promised in the Old Testament to set up a kingdom in the days of the Roman Empire, and we know that Jesus set it up during his ministry, as he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus set up a kingdom, and also one of the aspects of that kingdom is that it would last forever and it would never be destroyed. So Jesus set up a kingdom, and that kingdom hasn't went away. Jesus set up a church, and Jesus promised to be with that church always, even to the end of the world. And also, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is God's ordained repository for his glory, not just forever, but also notice in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, throughout all ages. So the question then is, where has the church been throughout all ages? The church did not cease to exist for several thousand years. The church did not cease to exist and then come back onto the scene at a later date. No, the kingdom of God has lasted forever and it will last forever. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been glorifying the name of Jesus throughout all ages. So with that being the case, where has the original church been? And where does that church reside today? So first of all, in Acts chapter 11 and in verse 26, we're told that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So there were people that were proclaiming salvation solely by Jesus Christ and by the grace of God. There were people that were worshiping in a very simplistic way, preaching, praying, and singing. And they lived in a way, they lived in a godly way that reflected the life of Jesus Christ to such a degree that the culture in Antioch identified them as Christians. So the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was originally in Antioch called Christians. And we see throughout history that people that have attempted to live in a Christian way, that have preached the apostles' doctrine of salvation by grace alone and immediate Holy Spirit regeneration and the resurrection of the dead and these core tenets of the original church that we have been trying to describe for you in this What is a Primitive Baptist series. Those that have believed the apostles' doctrine and have engaged in simplistic worship of just preaching, praying, and singing. Those those that have engaged in fellowship and in prayers, the simplistic manner of doctrine and practice and preaching of the original church, there have been a group of people. They have been at times a very small remnant, a very obscure remnant that has been not very prevalent in secular or in church history, but there has been a remnant of the original church, of the original Baptist church, dating all the way back to the original apostles in an unbroken chain. Jesus promised the perpetuity of his church, and that church has remained intact, even if it has been obscure, even if it has been small in number throughout years. There have always been, and there will always be until his second coming, but since the days that Jesus set up his church, there have always been a people that have been committed to the apostles' doctrine, salvation by grace, immediate Holy Spirit regeneration, believers' baptism and full immersion baptism, and the simplistic worship in the New Testament church. Now, those people that engaged in that were called Christians originally in the city of Antioch, but they've been called throughout many names throughout history. In the 3rd century in Rome, there were a group of people that were committed to strict doctrine and purity of life, and they opposed the lax discipline in the Roman church. They came to be known as the Novatians, and the Novatians tied back to the original Baptist church. In the early 4th century in northern Africa, the Donatists separated from the main church at Carthage, mainly for the same reasons that the Novatians separated in Rome over loose discipline and false doctrines. The Donatists, the Novatians, rejected people being brought back into those churches from heretical sects without rebaptism. And there's been a consistent message of antagonism, particularly with the Catholic Church, toward people that have rejected infant baptism. And the scriptures, as we have addressed in a prior message, the scriptures teach believers' baptism and baptism by full immersion, which the sprinkling of an infant doesn't meet either one of those qualifications. So anyone, such as the Novatians, the Donatists, that have opposed Catholic baptisms of sprinkling of infants that are not believers, they came to be known as Anabaptist, or from the Catholic perspective, they are against our baptism, Anabaptist. Now, the funny thing is primitive Baptists, we're the exact opposite of against baptisms. But from the Catholic perspective, the people that believed that came to be known as Anabaptist. In the 5th century, Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo in northern Africa, he wrote very extensively condemning the Catholics, and he wrote very articulately about election and predestination and man's depravity and salvation by grace alone. And many people believe that Augustine was the original creator of the teachings of John Calvin, of election and predestination. But Augustine simply preached the Bible. Now, Augustine was off on quite a few other points, but on the core tenets of the doctrines of grace, Augustine did properly teach that salvation was by grace alone. In Europe, we see groups of people throughout the centuries, the Paulicans, the Paterines, the Waldenses in northwestern Italy, the Lollards, the Waldenses trace their history back to the Novatians as well in the 3rd century. As we said, the Novatians, the Donatists, the Waldenses, the Paterines, the Lollards. There have been consistently a group of people that have believed the core tenets of Scripture of the original Baptist Church all throughout history, and they have been known by many different names throughout the centuries. And here in America, those people have come to be known as Primitive Baptist by people that were seeking religious liberty. The people who believed what the primitive Baptists believe, the primitive original Baptists today, the people that believe the same thing that we believe back in the 17th, 18th, and early 19th century, they were simply known as Baptists. There were not Baskin Robbins 31 different flavors of Baptists. They were just simply Baptists who believed what we believe in the original Baptist church. Now, in the early 1800s that eventually culminated in 1732 in a significant split. There was a group of people that desired to splinter off and leave the historical original Baptist church teaching, mainly based around a unscriptural purpose of attempting to save souls to heaven by the gospel. And if it's necessary for someone to hear and believe the gospel to go from hell to heaven, then other unscriptural additions to the church, such as mission boards and Sunday schools, were added to accomplish that end. And as we've already considered in this series, the purpose of the gospel is to inform God's children of what God has already done for them, not to change their eternal state from hell to heaven. And while we certainly have a commitment to preach the gospel, that gospel is not dictated by a mission board, and Sunday schools have no basis in the Word of God. So those that desire to have those new additions to the church, as the primitive original Baptist church, we rejected new additions because we believe the pattern of worship and the pattern of the church throughout all centuries has been sufficient, and it will continue to be sufficient, and we don't have to add anything new. Well, those that desire to add things new and promote a unscriptural doctrine of the necessity of the gospel to be saved to heaven, they came to be known as missionary Baptist or New School Baptist, and those old, hard shell, rigid people that were unwilling to accept something new and unwilling to compromise the integrity of the New Testament scriptures, they came to be known by their detractors as the primitive, old school, original Baptist. So even after the split, those that desired to institute something new took the name of New School Baptist, and they identified those who remained in the old line, in the old original pattern of the scriptures and of the Baptist church, they identified them as primitive Baptist. So when someone asks me what I am as a primitive Baptist, I'm simply an original Baptist. Not only are we original Baptist in America, but we are original Baptist tracing our history all the way back to John the Baptist and the establishment of the original Baptist church by Jesus Christ and the apostles. We believe that we have the ability, through the observance of the ordinances, through proper baptisms, through the laying on of hands of the ministry, we have the ability in the original Baptist church to trace not only our authority, but our history all the way back to the original church. And even though in America we're known as the primitive Baptist, we believe to be the original church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are people in America nowadays that call themselves primarily the Church of Christ, and due to distinction purposes, it's not prudent for us to take that title. But we believe in the Primitive Baptist Church that we are the primitive original Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He set up, and we have maintained the same doctrine and practice and worship that we see from the original church and from Jesus Christ. So the original church, those that have maintained the doctrine and practice and worship and preaching and teaching of the original church, have been known by many different names throughout the centuries. Originally Christians at Antioch, Novatians, Donatists, Waldenses, and so many other names. And here in America, we've come to be known as the primitive Baptist, the original Baptist. And it's important for me to clarify for you this morning that primitive Baptists are not Protestants. We did not originate out of a protest of the Baptist Church. Instead, the primitive original church has existed separate and distinct from the Catholic Church all the way back to the original apostles. We did not come into existence in the Reformation. We did not come into existence in protest of the Catholic Church. Instead, people that have believed what we have believed have received significant persecution from the Catholics all throughout history. But we are not Protestants. We are simply the primitive original church. Now, I would like to close by simply giving you some historical quotes of the true original Baptist church and the authentication, not just by ourselves, but by many other credible, validated historians of the perpetuity of the church and the perpetuity of the primitive original church. And in regards to the historical references of the history of the church, there was a great comprehensive work completed by Elder Hassell, The History of the Church of God, that I would encourage you to read in detail. We'd also consulted quite a few other works in the midst of this, specifically A Concise History of the Baptist by G.H. Orchard, History of the Primitive Baptist Church by Elder W.S. Craig, The Trail of Blood by J.M. Carroll, and quite a few others as well. So I would encourage you to research this yourself. This is not something I'm coming up with. This is not something that we are simply quoting our own people in validation of something that we believe. These are third-party historians and well-regarded people that have validated the perpetuity of the primitive original church. Now, first of all, in regards to us not being Protestants, notice this quote from J.M. Carroll out of The Trail of Blood. It is a significant and well-established incredible history that even as far back as the 4th century, those refusing to go into the hierarchy and refusing to accept the baptism or those baptized in infancy and refusing to accept the doctrine of baptismal regeneration and demanding rebaptism for all those who came to them from the hierarchy, the Roman Catholic Church, were called Anabaptists. No matter what other names they then bore, they were always referred to as Anabaptists by the Catholics. Near the beginning of the 16th century, the Anna was dropped and the name shortened to simply Baptist, and gradually all the other names were dropped. The name, however, has become fixed and is willingly accepted and proudly borne. It snugly fits. It was the distinguishing name of the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, and the first to teach the doctrine to which the Baptists now hold. This is from the Edinburgh Cyclopedia that has a Presbyterian connection. So this is from Presbyterian historians. This comes from The Trail of Blood from J.M. Carroll. It must have been already occurred to our readers that the Baptists are the same sect of Christians that were formerly described as Anabaptists. Indeed, this seems to me there have been leading principle from the time of Tertullian until the present time. And Tertullian dates all the way back to the 2nd century in Carthage, and he was born only about 50 years after the death of the Apostle John. Also, in regards to us not being Protestants, Sir Isaac Newton himself said, "The Baptists are the only body of known Christians that have never symbolized and held the same faith with Rome." That's from Sir Isaac Newton. And notice this quote from a Catholic Cardinal Hosius, the president of the Council of Trent, from 1524. This is from a Catholic cardinal who said, "Were it not that the Baptists have been grievously tormented and cut off with the knife during the past 1200 years, they would swarm in greater number than all the reformers." That is a Catholic cardinal attesting that if we as Catholics hadn't persecuted these Baptists so much over the last 1200 years, they would swarm in greater numbers than all the reformers in the 1500s. This quote is from J.L. Mosheim, who is a Lutheran historian. So this man has a Lutheran background. And this is his quote. "Before the rise of Luther and Calvin, there lay concealed in almost all of the countries of Europe, particularly in Bohemia, Moravia, Switzerland, Germany, and many persons who adhered to the doctrine tenaciously which the Waldenses and the Wycliffites and the Hussites had maintained, some in a more distinguished and others in a more open and public manner, that the kingdom of God or the visible church which he established on the earth was a assembly of real and true saints and ought therefore to be inaccessible to the wicked and the unrighteous and also exempt from all those institutions which human prudence suggests to oppose the progress of iniquity or to correct and reform transgressions." And notice this closing quote by J.L. Mosheim, who is a Lutheran historian. He says, "I know of no people who are by their principles so closely associated as old school or Bible Baptist with the primitive, spiritual, truly apostolic succession." Dates all the way back to the apostles. And then the final quote we'll give you is by Dr. J.J. Dermont and one of his peers that they reported to the King of Holland. So these are Dutch men that were commissioned by the King of Holland to investigate the origin and foundation of the Dutch Baptist. And their official report to the King of Holland said this: "The Mennonites are descended from the tolerably pure evangelical Waldenses," okay? The Waldenses, "who were driven by persecution into various countries, who during the latter part of the 12th century fled into Flanders and into the provinces of Holland and New Zealand, where they lived simple and exemplary lives, which were exemplified in their holy conversation. They were therefore in existence long before the Reformed Church in the Netherlands." So long before the Reformation, there were original Baptists that were known by Waldenses and other names, but they were truly original Baptists. Now, continuing on, we have now seen that the Baptists who were formerly called Anabaptists and later times Mennonites were the original Waldenses and who have long in the history of the church received the honor of that origin. And pay attention to this specific portion of their quote. On this account, the Baptist may be considered the only Christian community which has stood since the apostles, and as a Christian community which has preserved pure the doctrine of the gospel throughout all ages. So this refutes the fact that Roman Catholics say that their church is the most ancient. No, these historians reporting back to the King of Holland said on this account, the Baptist may be considered the only Christian community which has stood since the apostles, and as a Christian society which has preserved pure the doctrine of the gospel throughout all ages. Yea and amen. So the Bible promised that the Lord's church that was set up by Jesus Christ would glorify him and remain intact and withstand the assaults of Satan and hell throughout all ages, and that has been the case. But the church has not been in very visible public view throughout all of those years. Sometimes they had to be very clandestine and secretive due to the persecution of governments or the persecution of other denominations or other supposed churches. But the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the primitive original Baptist church that maintains the apostles' doctrine of salvation by grace alone and simplistic worship, there has been a manner of people committed to the doctrine and practice that we see in the New Testament scriptures since the time of the original apostles throughout all ages, even up until today. And we believe in America and we believe in the world today, the primitive Baptist church is the closest church to the original teachings of the apostles and the scriptures set up by the Lord Jesus Christ. So circling back to the original question, what is a primitive Baptist? Well, we are simply original Baptist. We believe that the scriptures of the New Testament are sufficient for doctrine and practice, and we try to uphold those to the best of our ability, believing in salvation by grace alone, immediate Holy Spirit regeneration, the resurrection of the dead, the second coming of the Lord, and simplistic worship by simply preaching, praying, and singing, and the fellowship of the saints in prayers. There have been a people that have maintained that original doctrine of the original church throughout all ages. They've been known by many different names: Novatians, Donatists, Anabaptists, Waldenses. And we believe that that same group of people is known in America as the Primitive Baptist Church. And we would invite you to come see us as the Primitive Baptist Church. Come see what the original Baptist Church looks like functioning here in America today. We'd love to have you come worship with us. We'd love to meet you. We hope our efforts here on the program as a whole, and especially our efforts through the sermon series of What is a Primitive Baptist, has been instructive and profitable for you. In the Primitive Original Church, we simply try to uphold and maintain and preach the scriptures. Preach the whole counsel of God, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And if that's something that's attractive to you, if what we have considered has piqued your interest, we would love for you to contact us. Go to our website, gospel-of-grace.com, and we would love for you to come worship with us at your local Primitive Original Church in your area. May God richly bless you on this Lord's Day.